this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy Gene Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, hello there. How y'all doing? Welcome to the Guy James Show. Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you live on this Thursday afternoon, August the 20th. August the 20th, a big day in my family. It truly is. It's my brother's birthday, two of my cousins' birthday, three of my cousins' birthday. So four of us, we never forget August the 20th. And, of course, we lost a member of our family on August the 20th as well, an important member. But we try and stay happy over all the birthdays. So August the 20th, happy birthday to brother and cousins and everybody that's enjoying this August the 20th. Thanks for joining us here on the Guy James Show. It is good to have you along with us this afternoon. We've got a lot to talk about. We had a guest scheduled, and they canceled out about 5 minutes ago. So I guess we'll wait till next week on that one. We hope to have somebody pretty important in the labor movement with us, and they had to cancel out today. So we'll see about having them on next Tuesday or Wednesday. Okay? Wait for that. We had Jimmy Hoffa scheduled for today from the Teamsters. And I guess these high and mighty muckety mucks, they get busy once in a while and have to tell us little folks, sorry, pal, maybe next week. You know, some of you thought I was kidding about the corporate jet yesterday when I talked about it. I wasn't kidding. If we're going to go to important things like the Netroot Nations, I think it only fitting that Bob and I ride there in style. And it's got not so much to do with style. It's got to do with efficiency, you see. We don't care about the luxuriousness of it. That's not it at all. It just would make our time better spent. Not having to stop at catch connecting flights, Bob not having to drive all the way from Beckley. Leaving from Beckley International and Regional Southwest here in Fort Myers, we could be up there at Pittsburgh or Vegas next year or anything in a snap, all our equipment there, and Bob wouldn't have to, drive out to the airport and pick me up and all that sort of thing. So I was serious about that jet, and so far none of you have kicked into the Horn Jet Fund yet, and I'm very disappointed over that. I've located a very nice, and I'm talking nice now, used Gulfstream 3 for only $2,950,000. It's got really low air miles. It's a beauty. It can carry about, 14 people in style. So, Elo, Sophie, all you people there, the Head On Radio Network staff, we need this. And so, I hope everybody will pitch in and get this thing going. And we've got to think of a clever name for the fund, the Head On Radio Network Jet Fund. I don't know. That's
Anyway, we're out to raise $2,950,000 for our corporate jet. And we'll have it painted. I don't know what colors Bob is going to want to paint it. He's probably going to want to paint it University of West Virginia colors. And I'm probably going to want to paint it scarlet and gray. So we'll probably have to compromise, and the front half will be scarlet and gray, and the back half will be blue and yellow. Ooh. I think that's going to clash a little bit. Maybe we'll just split it down the middle from one side to the other, and depending on which side of the plane you're looking at, that's a better idea. Yeah. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here in the program today. And if you would like to call and make a donation for the Horn Jet Fund, why let us know, and we'll make special arrangements for that. Again, it's only $2,950,000. I think we should be able to arrange that in what, 3 weeks max? Something like that. I don't know. Steward or stewardess? Sophie's asking on the chat room, steward or stewardess? Well, one of each, of course. I tell you, the comments, for those of you listening at iTunes or some other venue, be sure and head on over to the Head On Radio Network chat room. They're crazy people there. Really are, but they're fun. They are fun. And right now they're talking about hot pants. I haven't thought about those for a long time. Long time. Anyway, welcome to all you liberal progressive listeners today, maybe even a few of you crazy conservatives as well, and I am saying crazy. Liberals who are in favor of death panels and, you know, you're Marxists and Nazis and socialists and baby killers and tax raising commie pinko nasty people. Welcome to the program today. It's good to have all of you along with us. That's the brush that we're being painted with, so we might as well just, you know, grow into it, huh? I can't believe some of the things that I have seen the past few days. I had a chance last night. I took a couple of hours and just surfed around the net at some of the more notorious websites. And you talk about hatred. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. There is more hatred right now, and it's for a variety of reasons. Number one, they're sad to be out of power. They're furious at being out of power. Number two, we have a black man in the White House, and that's not sitting well with people at all. And many of you Republicans, many of you conservatives, many of you right-wingers, you neocons, whatever we like to call you, you can deny it all you want to, but we know that much of this is over racism. We know it is. Absolutely it is. And I'm sure by now all of you have seen these pictures of people at these town hall meetings and at the Obama meetings with guns. I, as somebody who tried to attend one Cheney function and one Bush function, and had to be corralled into one of these free speech zones, I wasn't carrying a sign. I was wearing a Democratic Club t-shirt. Yes, that was my offense. And had to stand in one of these free speech zones about a mile from where the vice president was, and at least that far away from where the president was. I am just stupefied that people are now allowed to take weapons in the vicinity of the President of the United States. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat, right-wing, left-wing, you know, commie, libertarian, what. Does that make sense to you? Knowing the turmoil it throws a country into when their leader is assassinated or you know, an attempted assassination, we've had many in this country. I find it just, I don't have words when I see these pictures of guys carrying weapons in close proximity to the President of the United States, especially after having attended, trying to attend a couple of these meetings with Bush and Cheney and being corralled into a free speech zone, free speech. I guess we'll all have to get some sidearms or maybe some automatic rifles now and go to our local town hall meetings. And I had to ask the question, I wonder how far I would get if I went to a local, well, let's say my local congressman here. They say he's our congressman. No one ever sees him. Connie Mack, he doesn't really live here. His real name is Cornelius McGillicuddy. You think I'm kidding, check it out. Or Sonny Bono's widow's hubby, whatever. Mr. Bono, or I don't know. Anyway, I wonder if I could take an automatic rifle to one of his meetings. I wonder if I could. I don't have an automatic rifle, but if I did, would I be allowed to take it to one of my congressman's town hall meetings? I think I know the answer to that with the local skinhead sheriff we have here. I don't think a Republican, I might add. I don't think I'd get the weapon out of the car before I'd have a bullet in my head. I'm fairly certain of that. And if you want to see some real hatred about guns and all, I know some of you are aware of this place, hotair.com. Ooh. Go over there and read the comments about the guns at the Obama town hall. Oh, my God. These people are whipping themselves into a fury. It's like the lady on the plane, as I told you about yesterday. They've got all these talking points in their head. They're convinced they're right, and they go on and on and on and on about them. And more guns are beginning to show up at events where President Obama's appearing. What was it, Monday in Phoenix? About a dozen people were spotted carrying weapons outside the convention center where the president spoke? Folks, Second Amendment rights be damned. There is no acceptable reason for a person in the United States of America to be carrying a loaded gun at a political event, especially one where the president is present. And as I mentioned, at an event where George W. Bush was present, you could be escorted out or forced to stand in the damn free speech zone for carrying a sign or wearing a T-shirt with the wrong message on it. My offense was to have one on said Collier County Democratic Club. Ooh, how offensive. Apparently it's all right to carry a loaded assault rifle at events where our President Obama is present. The Brady campaign, President Paul Helmke issued the following statement today. Bringing loaded firearms to any presidential event endangers all in attendance. Even our weak national and state gun laws may allow this dangerous behavior. We should use a little common sense. Individuals carrying loaded weapons at these events require constant attention from police and Secret Service officers, thus stretching their protective efforts even thinner. The possibility that these weapons might be grabbed or stolen or accidentally mishandled increases the risk of injury or death to all in attendance. The National Rifle Association and other gun rights group need to send a message about gun responsibilities to their members and all gun owners. Loaded weapons at political forums endanger everyone involved. They distract the law enforcement and end up stifling debate. Presidential protesters need to leave their firearms at home, and there should be no exception. Leave your guns at home, people. Just because you can, just because it's legal, doesn't mean you should. Tweety Bird had a guy on his program last night from some gun organization, and Tweety flat out asked him, do you think you ought to be able to have a gun or an assault rifle in a hall where the president is? And the guy at first wouldn't answer it. He did everything he could to evade it, tried to ask a question back, and to Tweety's credit, he kept his feet to the fire and kept saying, and finally the guy said yes. And so Tweety said, do you mean then, he's in a hall with 10,000 people, all of them ought to be able to have assault rifles with them? And the guy said, well, yes, if they're law-abiding citizens. And Tweety came back and said, well, how do you distinguish who's law-abiding and who is not carrying a rifle? And the guy, of course, couldn't answer it because he knew at that point he'd made an idiotic, lunatic statement. Man, I'll tell you, if I had a gun, I don't. And I'm not one of these ones that says you shouldn't own a gun. If you want a gun, you have one with my blessing. I don't care, as long as you use it for the right things. But, please, someone have some sense here. Have some sense. Think of all the things that could happen. And think of the Secret Service being diverted. Bob and I had a little experience with the Secret Service last week, didn't we, Bob? We know what it's like to have the eyes upon you. And we were, for certain, law-abiding citizens attending an event with a gentleman that we, you know, were friendly with. But I have to wonder what is wrong with people. We've never seen this before, have we? And these guys with these guns walking around, you know what, I'm Mr. Stud, I've got my gun. And this obsession with the guns ever since Barack Obama has been elected president. You've got to take the guns away, you know. If he's going to take them away, when is it he's going to get started? And you know, they were there yesterday and Monday with those guns, just daring him, just daring authorities to take the guns away so then they could all be in chorus together. Oh, they're taking our guns away. And they'd start a national, you know, national hue and cry. They're taking our guns away. Look at that. You can see them. The Secret Service took our guns away. That's what that president is after. That's what they're doing. They're baiting them. They're baiting them. Trying their very best to bait law enforcement officers into taking their guns away so that they can whine and cry. They've taken our guns away. They've denied us our Second Amendment rights. After all, why shouldn't we be able to have a gun, an AK-47, a 45, a couple of pearl-handled 45s and head into a meeting where the President of the United States is? Have something terrible happen and turn the world upside down, all because of another crazy's gotten in there. You know, that Timothy McVeigh, he was a clean-cut looking guy, don't you think? Had him a little burr haircut, not burr, but a little flat-top haircut and all. He didn't look like a terrorist, do you think? He's just a proud Oklahoman out there where they have the two craziest goddamn senators that have ever lived. Whew. Yeah. Coburn and Inhofe. Now, there's a pair. There's a pair, Coburn and Inhofe. But anyway, they had good old Tim McVeigh there. And if they'd have had a presidential town hall meeting there, old Timmy boy could have walked right up there with his guns, and everybody said, well, he looks like a straight guy. He looks like a law-abiding citizen, whoever it is that decides who's law-abiding and who isn't. I mean, remember now, we had this guy on TV last night from this gun organization telling Tweety Bird, well, these people have permits for these guns, and so we know they're law-abiding citizens. Let me tell you, friends, these gun organizations railed against getting permits for these guns. Railed against it. They would have it be the wild, wild west, and it practically is a lot of different places. We're in Texas and evidently in Arizona and other states, you can carry sidearm on you. And those guys were doing it openly in Phoenix. I don't know what I would have said. I'd have probably got shot if I'd have gone to one of those meetings and saw one of those assholes with a gun. Now, when it comes to the guns like this, you know, we've had this obsession with them ever since Barack Obama got himself elected. He didn't get himself elected. We elected him. But there's been this obsession with the guns. And you know, these guys, they're all showing us their guns. And, yeah, I've got a 45 and I've got a double-aught whatever and a 12-gauge and a sawed-off this and a, you know, I don't know anything about guns. I really don't. A 22, an 8 9 millimeter. That there's you just got the entire knowledge of guns that I have right there. I knew a few names of them. But people are obsessed with them now, and they brag about what they've gotten. You know, years ago, when people used guns for hunting, and some still do, when you lived up in the hills or out in the prairie or someplace and you killed game for your family to eat, and by the way, that's okay with me, if you kill game for your family to eat, that's all right with me. I don't do it. I never have done it. But that's okay with me. I'm not one of these ones that says you shouldn't hunt. If you need to for your family, you go ahead. But guys didn't brag about their guns. I wasn't allowed to see my father's guns, my father's shotguns. I wasn't allowed to, you know, he didn't get them out, though. When the neighbors came over, they'd get their guns out and go around and say, yeah, look at my gun, look at my gun. I got a bigger one than you got. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Mine's bigger than yours. Let that testosterone flow, boys. Yeah, whoever's got the biggest gun is the biggest man. Yeah. But this is insanity. And I have talked by email to several people today who defended this. And like I said, if you go over to that hot air place, they'll defend it as well. And it's more than I can take, really, to listen to these people and have them carry on about this and act like this is just normal every day, because it isn't. It isn't at all. And I just hate to see things going off the deep end like this, and really, really and truly the deep end. I never thought I'd see the day when guns were allowed around the President of the United States. Never, ever, ever thought I'd see a thing like that. Well, I guess I'm not going to stop it, am I? And I guess evidently the Secret Service is not going to stop it. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to join us here on the program today, we'd love to have you. 866-546-5254. You know, Barney Frank really schooled his fellow Democrats yesterday in a way to properly handle wingnuts who just persist in disrupting the town halls. And they all look a little crazy, don't you think? They do. And they insist on, and I'm with Barney, if they insist on acting like ill-mannered, uneducated children, then you treat them like ill-mannered, uneducated children. That's what they need to do, and old Barney did that very thing. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
I do.
Hey, this is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
Let me turn my TV on. Okay. You were talking about the guns and all, and I'm just bonding over it, I'll tell you. If it's okay for all of them to show up with their guns, don't they know, or do they not know that liberals have guns too?
Yeah, and next thing you know, you'll see a couple crazy liberals at the thing, and they'll end up having a shootout.
Oh, they'll arrest their liberals.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. What was I thinking?
But of course, you know. But why not let our enemies, so-called enemies, carry their weapons there too? I mean, there's other weapons besides guns.
Yeah.
Are you
going
to be able to wear a hilted sword or something? What about a samurai sword?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's no crazier. A samurai sword, that's no crazier than a guy carrying around an assault rifle.
And, like, you know, I could bring an axe, or I could bring a pitchfork or sledgehammer or whatever. Those are my weapons of choice. I mean, I can shoot a gun, but I don't know how to take care of a gun. You know, I don't know how to clean them and all like that. But, you know, it's just absolutely horrific in my opinion.
Yes, I think it is. I'm appalled.
And it's just, you just think about all the things that could happen. And another thing is that somebody brought up that what about the people going out to the, what do you call it, town halls? Don't have protection. You know, our congressmen and all don't have protection.
That's right.
If you could just look somebody the wrong way and you wouldn't get anywhere close to Bush or Cheney.
Absolutely true.
In fact, if like our people got out and raised sand at all, any kind of remarks, we either thrown in jail or put in the zone. I mean, you know what I think, Bob. I think that those people that are doing all those protests now, they don't know what it's like to be in our shoes. They haven't felt like they were in our shoes where we weren't allowed to do certain things. And now they feel like, oh, they got all these rights. And we don't have any still.
You're right. I absolutely agree.
It's just unbelievable. You just think that everything is just gets more and more like ridiculous in a way. It's the nicest way to put it.
That's the very nicest way to put it.
But anyway, welcome back. And
we need, while I have you on here, I said I was going to put the squeeze on everybody. You know, we're gathering money for our corporate jet, our Head On Radio Network corporate jet. And we found one for only $2,950,000 now.
Oh, what deal?
If everybody would throw in a couple of grand, it would only take us like 3 weeks. Can we count on you for a tank of gas for the thing? I don't know how much it holds. Oh, thanks for calling, Juanita. It's good to have you on the program.
Okay. You take care of yourself.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think this is going to be a... This might be trouble raising that much money. I don't know for the plane, but we've got to have it. We simply have to have it. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour here right now, and let me see here. Let me see who else. Okay, I had to check out and see who else in the chat room right now. Somebody wanted to hear this, so here it is.
Way down the coast,
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Adopting GOP talking points, several conservative media figures have advanced the notion that cooperatives are, quote, basically the same as the public option.
But is a co-op any different than the so-called public option?
No, I don't think so.
I think the cooperative plan is basically the same thing with a new packaging.
The public option, the government-run plan, now masquerading as a co-op.
However, many economists argue that cooperatives are not only not the same, but will be less effective than the public option. Being too small and too numerous, cooperatives may not have any real bargaining leverage to lower prices. But the most outrageous comment of the day goes to conservative commentator Mark Stein, proving the death panel myth won't go away.
The thing about a death panel isn't that it's a panel that actually says we're denying you this treatment. It's that the whole system is, in fact, a kind of death panel.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hey, you're back with the Guy James Show here this afternoon. I'm glad to have all of you along with us. My.
Guess we should turn the mic up just a little bit there now. Our Swedish expat American friend is suggesting that Bob and I have a fundraiser by eating this rotten fish and inviting everybody to sit in on that. Well, I have to tell you, I don't eat fish or fowl, and I don't like even sitting in the same room with a plate of fish of any kind. I abhor the smell of it so much. And this stuff that Bedtime for Bonzo's talking about sounds, it's making me kind of nauseous just thinking about it. It really does. Makes me a little sick just thinking about it. Ooh. Now, if you wanted to have Bob and a guy eat off where, whoever ate the most of a certain item, send us to that Fogo de Chao restaurant in Washington, D.C. There's one in Miami Beach, too. We'll get Bob down this way, and we'll go at it. I think I can whip him. I do. And I'm sure he feels just the same way. But it'll be a friendly competition. I know neither one of us would go near the salad bar. We barely did the last time we ate at one of those. So, and yes, Johnny O, I do eat omelets. Yeah, I had a spectacular one the other day. Love omelets. Well, they're trying to get us to all eat all sorts of terrible stuff. Orion fermented cabbage. I don't like anything fermented. I do like some rather rank cheeses, but not crazy about Limburger or anything like that. Anyway, how did I get to talking about fish? Not bedtime for Bonzo. He got us. In. By the way, he's on the chat room, and the rest of you better get on over to the chat room. We got quite a group starting in there this afternoon. Yes, we do. Did you see Tom DeLay last night on the Tweety Bird Matthews show? I usually sometimes watch that while I'm eating dinner. What Matthews sees in Tom DeLay, I'd like to know. I mean, let's be honest here. Tom DeLay is an evil bastard. I mean, there's no other way to put it. The way he acts, the way he conducted himself in the United States Congress, he's a guy that should be in prison. But it turns out he's one of these birthers. Anything he can do or say to be offensive to Democrats, he does. And it turns out he's one of these birthers that thinks, and that guy from the gun organization last night, too, on Tweety Bird Matthews shows, both of them said, well, I haven't seen his birth certificate. Let me ask you something. Did I see Ronald Reagan's birth certificate? Did you see it? Any of you see it? I mean, we're pretty sure it existed, aren't we? Aren't we pretty sure George W. Bush's birth certificate existed? Did you see it? I didn't see it. I didn't even see the announcement in the local newspaper that any of them were born. I did see that of Barack Obama. This massive conspiracy these guys are talking about, like they birthed a kid in
another country and sneaked him in here. You know, it's like he's an illegal alien. I don't know. I don't know. The whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. But here we had Tom DeLay last night admitting to being one of these birthers. I don't know. I don't know when I've seen such hatred. I don't think I ever have. When people, like at that rally the other day, call Obama a Nazi, and a friend of mine told me this, and I agree with him, that they really got another N-word in mind. I mean, if people hate socialized health care so much, then let them pledge to never sign up. Never sign up for any government-funded, government-controlled socialized health care plan known as, you know what it's known as, Medicare. Don't sign up for it. Don't take it. Don't go to the doctor and use your Medicaid care card when you get it. If you're so much against any socialized medicine of any kind, don't take this Medicare. If you've got principles and you're going to stick to them, by God, the government-controlled socialized health care plan, it's Medicare, don't go near it. If you put your money where your mouth is. Furthermore, if they hate Obama so much, they ought to pledge to refuse any treatments that might come out of stem cell research. All the fury that they put up about that. But you can bet if one of their relatives came down with a dreaded disease, or one of their family members or themselves came down with something that could benefit from stem cell research, he'd be the first one asking for it. Now, wouldn't they? You know it is true. These people talk out of both sides of their mouth every single day. The hypocrisy is so deep you drown in it. But if you believe what you say you do, don't take the Medicare. Don't use stem cell research benefits of any kind. Put your money where your mouth is. Let's see your principles in action if you got any. I don't happen to think you do. But this country was founded by men and women who are willing to put their lives on the line for their principles. I'm willing to put my life on the line for my principles, and a lot of people I know are as well. And through the last couple of centuries, every generation, when they were challenged, has somehow managed to find greatness, every generation in one way or another. And if these protesters want to claim their moral heritage from these people, they should do the same. Put your life on the line and we will believe you. That's all you have to do. When staring death in the face and you could benefit from stem cell research, deny it. And then we will believe you. And you come down with a dreaded disease or monstrous hospital bills, don't go to Medicare. Then we'll believe you have principles. It's so interesting. Here we had a situation where a lot of people thought Bush stole an election. I do to this day believe that. And I don't care what kind of criteria you use. We didn't treat him like people are treating Barack Obama. And you can take your pick. The polls, the demonstrations, the talk show rhetoric that's coming up. I mean, they promised to be fair. They weren't fair the next day after he was inaugurated. And without question, that was the most contested election in American history. And he didn't get treated the way Obama's treated. And shortly after 9/11, and you all remember this, you remember how his popularity was through the roof? It was over 80%, I know that. I can't think of the exact highest percentage that it was. And it didn't stay that way for long, but he stayed in the 60s for quite a while. And there were no demonstrations, no Nazi talk that made the mainstream media almost every day. It wasn't until Bush began to act like a dictator, and he did,
Then he began to get called on this stuff. And Obama, they've hated him right out of the box. And I'm not talking just any regular hatred. I'm talking about the worst kind of visceral hatred. He's been called a socialist and a Nazi right from the start. He never got a honeymoon. Not from the GOP, anyway. Look, this is all beside the main point here. This is heading down a very, very, very dangerous road. The rhetoric and the gun displays and the attacks on his legitimacy to be the president in the first place. The Republicans are playing with fire here. They literally are playing with fire. The nation could go up in flames, kind of like what we saw in the 60s. But this time it'd be way more intense because the country's way more divided this time. And Republicans had better think about it long and hard before they continue these kind of tactics. They better think about it long and hard. But I don't think they are. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to give us a call. 866-546-5254. I'd like to see the president start to play a little hardball with some of these people. He isn't. He's being too nice, in my opinion. I'd like to see him go at it with some of these folks. They've got it coming. Just go on TV and give them a Harry Truman treatment. Does anybody think Harry Truman would stand for any of this? I'm not sure old Harry could have been elected in today's modern media world, because I don't know how many of you remember Harry that well. I remember him mostly from when after he was president, when he was still living. And Harry wouldn't take any crap from anybody. Love that about him. And so, because of his propensity to tell Republicans just what he thought of them when they attacked him, he probably couldn't get elected today. Everybody would say he was a little too rough. But not for me. I think a little bit of that's okay in politics, and I think Obama ought to strike back, and I think he ought to put his gentleman clothes away for a day and put on his rough and tough suit and go out and give it to him. I think America would... I think they'd be okay with it. I really do. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
If you doubt for a second that the Republicans will tell outrageous lies to you about health care reform, watch this.
But that's exactly what's going on in Canada and Great Britain today. They don't have the appreciation of life as we do in our society, evidently. And Dr. Rowe, a lot of people are going to die. This program of government option that's being touted as being this panacea, the savior of allowing people to have quality health care at an affordable price, is going to kill people.
Got that? The people in Canada and England hate their citizens so much that, like every other wealthy industrial country in the world, they give their citizens affordable health care. But we can't have that in America. We need huge health insurance rate increases, gigantic salaries for the CEOs of the health insurance companies, and people being denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. Because that's how much the Republicans love life. This message produced by Lee Stranahan. I'm an uninsured father taking on the health insurance industry.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one, pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one. There'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too.
Hey, we're back with you. You are listening to the Guy James Show. Welcome to the show. Do we have somebody on the phone? Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
All right. Good to have you back. Sounds like you had a successful outing. That sounds great.
Yeah, it was. It was.
No, I just told him because, you know, this healthcare thing, it just seems, I don't know, like it's dying a death of a thousand cuts.
I think you're right.
But what you were saying, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I agree with you. I think that's exactly what's happening to it.
And, you know, I do question what's going on with the use of the bully pulpit by Obama. I'm not too sure if he's equipped to deal or what's going on because, he can't just turn the whole process over and hope for some, I don't know what. I've never seen anything like it, you know?
I know, and this campaign that the Republicans have been running against it, it's been highly successful.
It's been successful because, unlike Johnson, who, you know, would break an arm, he had no problems, getting his agenda across. He was quite successful.
Very much so.
He was successful because he was, I don't know. I don't really understand. This is not how you play politics in this country. I don't know what Obama's doing. I don't know if he's. I don't want to say he's incompetent because I know he's intelligent. That's not the issue. But this sort of obsession with bipartisanship and all this sort of stuff—it's absurd.
It was a mistake from the very beginning. Never, never, never going to happen. Never going to happen.
And I'm starting to question the motives now because he's not, he has to know that he has the control of both houses and it can be streamlined in multiple ways. Did you see Bush hesitate?
No, not in the least.
I mean, that fool got whatever he wanted through.
Sure.
And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this because it's making me think that there's another agenda at play here and it's not a pretty one. And I don't want to think that about what's in charge of our government, but we don't get this public option. I just saw a poll. 77% of the people still want the public option. You know why they want it? Because it's out of control scary out here if you try to get health care. That's why.
It sure is. And I see now they're going to they're going to lower the price of COBRA for those of that lose their insurance, but it's going to be watered down. Whatever we get, I'm absolutely convinced of that.
Well, no, but the problem is I don't think they realize what's going on out there because there was a study. Let's take California, which I know something about. In a decade, the average premium is going to be $22,000 a year for a family, Guy. Do you understand? I mean, this is just mind-numbing.
It is. It is.
If nothing happens, this is what the premiums are going to go up to. So we're not in a situation to be, try this, try that. You see what I mean? It's critical.
That's right. You're absolutely right. It's the time is now. It's got to be done now.
And, the whole Bertha thing, I'm sick to death of that, too, because you were spot on. Did we see Reagan's? No, we didn't see none of these people's. And it's a really good point. It's something I'm going to use. That's fantastic. I love it.
Well,
you know?
Who would have thought? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Matthews brought up to Tom DeLay last night. Did you see the newspaper articles of when he was born? Is that all a conspiracy? I mean, it's crazy.
No, the whole idea that they dignify it says everything about, you know, just, it's racist. Let's be honest with what it is. It's racist. It's a problem that some of these white people can't wrap their head around the idea that a Negro is actually there. I don't mean to go that way, but you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't see nothing else. There's no other reason for this to go on because no one in their right mind really believes that what? He was born in a test tube and, you know, laid out for this purpose right now.
Yeah,
come on.
But you said the catchphrase there, in their right mind. That's it right there. There's the problem. Did you hear yesterday's show by any chance?
I heard most of it. Yep.
Talking about my seatmate coming home from my connecting flight in Atlanta. Perfectly nice person, well spoken, obviously well to do. And started mouthing these right-wing talking points, and I'm sitting there just, you know, aghast. I'm thinking, my God, it just goes across all groups of people. It's fascinating how that they can go for some of this stuff, but they do.
Well, and you have to once again look at the infrastructure of the propaganda or the media coupled with no critical thinking skills. Sorry. I don't care. You can be educated up to Harvard in this country and not have any critical thinking skills, I'm convinced now.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
You know?
You betcha. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say you betcha. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You can go ahead and say that shit. Palin. Yeah, that's her contribution. And it's a worthy one at that.
What have you ever been in the chat room?
Yeah, I have been, not recently, but...
Well, these people in the chat room are just pleading for you to come into the chat room. You should see, I'm not kidding, you should see this. Yes. One comment after another. So tell Sandra we're going to throw a party for her. Tell Sandra to come to the chat room. Tell Sandra this, tell Sandra that. My gosh, you're the best thing since sliced bread. You got to get in there.
Oh, no. Well, listen, that's nice to hear. I don't, you know, it's all just chit-chat. You know what I'm saying? My head's exploding because you feel so powerless at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
But people seem to be, they have to be. If you have 77% in the face of this onslaught still demanding some sort of alternative to the madness, you see what I mean? I don't see how they're going to ignore it.
Obviously, I think the groundswell that's come up for the public option these past few days, I think they have heard it. I think they're backtracking on it. And don't you see some signs of that? Over the weekend, it sounded like Obama and them are ready to let it go. Now they're backtracking on that and say, well, you know, maybe... You know they're actually chanting Sandra, Sandra, Sandra on the chat room. They are.
I know you're pulling my leg.
I am not pulling your leg.
Oh.
I swear to you, Scouts honor, pinky swear, and all that. Yes, sir. You should see the comments here. Sandra, 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 Sandra for president. Yes.
Oh God. Well, you know what? I have to be hopeful, I guess, like you, about the groundswell, but I do think it needs to translate to, like, the civil rights type action. People need to, march. You know, I think it's that kind of, policy development that has to go on. You can't just sit back, you know, and think this is gonna come down because it's a $3 trillion, industry. They're not gonna let go of that. That's a lot of money.
Why would they? Oh, they're going to.
Well, they will if a million people show up. I do think things are desperate enough for people to think about taking to the street over this. Because Obama needs some help. He needs to be told, listen, you're going to be a one-term president if this don't happen. Something needs to go on because the pushback has to happen. Oh, my God.
I'm hearing that Obama just finished a meeting, and he said in the meeting he still supports the public option. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, okay, listen, I'll let you go. I'm glad you guys had a success with that.
Well, yeah, and you better go to the chat room because these people are going to die if you don't.
Okay, I'll check it out.
All right. Thanks, Sandra.
All right, bye.
See. Well, see, was I lying? Was I lying? I mean, the people going crazy for Sandra in the chat room. That's what kind of a family we've got around here. My, oh, my. I don't know where this first hour is going. It's almost gone. We've got a lot to talk about in the second hour. I want to talk to you in the second hour about this socialized medicine and how bad off it is in other countries. We've got some examples of how bad it is, how really terrible it is in other countries. And believe me, none of us would want to be in the shoes of these people I want to talk about here in the second hour. I tried to get one of them on today, and I will do that. I've got many Canadian friends, and I need to get one of them on to talk about their insurance. But we're going to talk about a couple of anecdotal stories in the second hour today, and I think I'll read you these stories. Just how horrible it is in Canada and the UK. Horrible, I tell you. Horrible. Oh. Now, Sophie's bleeding. I hope Sandra does come into the chat room. Because everybody's going to have to write your comments all over again or Sandra won't believe me. That they were going crazy for Sandra in the chat room. Yes. Yeah, we've got a lot coming up the second hour. When we go to the top of the hour today, there will not be news. There's something wrong with the news feed. I do not know what it is, but we're going to give you a little Bruce Springsteen over the top of the hour today, the boss. Let him sing a little something for you, and perhaps that'll placate everybody instead of having to hear the news today. I'm being distracted by the chat room. I've got to stop listening to these people. They're going crazy. Yeah, that's right. We've got a Swedish story, and Bedtime for Bonzo calls in the second hour. We'll hear some Swedish stories of their medical care as well. We have many, many Republicans trying to denigrate the health care of other countries. And it seems like when we hear from the people, the actual people from the countries, is nothing like what the Republicans are telling us it's like. And I know that for a fact. I have many, many Canadian friends. Many. And they all swear by it. It's not that I've never heard a complaint, because I have. But compared to what we have here, it's leaps and bounds above anything that we could, that we even dream of having. So, we're going to head off to the news coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll be back after that, and we hope you will as well.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me?
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Give countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening, in fact, to the Guy James Show here on this Thursday afternoon. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. No matter where you may be listening from, we've got people from California. We've got a couple from California on the chat room right now. We've got people from right here in Southwest Florida, Sweden, Ohio. Let me see where else. A couple there. I don't know where they're from. I'm not sure. Anyway, oh, we got another August 20th birthday. Johnny O's son today is on August the 20th as well, so... Big day, August the 20th. Let me see. 9 months back from August. That's late November. Yeah, cold weather. Hey, you are listening to the Guy James Show, and we now have evidence. Where did I do? What did I do with my evidence? I had my evidence right here. Oh, I'm so good at rearranging things that I've got set here. 39% of the people, what did I do with that 39% paper I had here? Well, anyway, we found out through the polls that 39% of the people in the United States are just plain idiots. 39%. That's pretty high, don't you think? Yeah, here it is. 39% of Americans are certified imbeciles. And the reason we know that is because 39% of Americans want government to stay out of Medicare. That's right. 39% of Americans want government to stay out of Medicare. So, therefore, 39% of Americans are, in fact, certified imbeciles. Wow. And another 15% are morons who are not sure. That is 54%. A majority of Americans do not understand that Medicare is a government program. We're changing from a democracy to a true idiotocracy. Don't you think it's just mind-boggling that people are seriously that stupid? Or that poorly informed? I mean, how is it possible to have a viable discussion about health insurance with people who have ideas like this in their head? I mean, come on, Barney Frank is right. It is like talking to a dining room table. Ooh. 39% of the people. That's fascinating, don't you think? it bolsters what I've been saying all along, that we're not being blessed with the brightest of people here in this country anymore, if we ever were. I have to think there was a time when Americans were smarter than they are now. Please tell me that there was a time and that was true. Oh, I hope. Bedtime's for Bonzo, so there's three kinds of people. Those who can count and those who can't. Huh. I saw a guy the other day wearing a T-shirt that said 94% of the 97% of the time I'm right. The other 4% I don't care about. Yeah, I saw a guy wearing a T-shirt. I thought it was pretty cute. Is it brainwashing or is it stupidity? If it's brainwashing, and I accept that it probably is, a lot of it is, because the country couldn't be that stupid, could they? I mean, how could you comb your hair in the morning if you were dumb enough to believe that? Huh? I mean, if you're an adult, let's say you're 40-something, and you watch the news, maybe read a newspaper once in a while, maybe even a magazine, and you still think Medicaid and Medicare is not a government program? Are you smart enough to comb your hair? Are you smart enough to get in the car and drive it and pass the driver's test? I promised you that I wanted to talk about some stories about the horrible, horrible medical care that they get in other countries. And I think it's good to hear actual stories from people in other countries. And like I mentioned, I do know many people from our great neighbors to the north in Canada. And they have an excellent, excellent health care program in their country. And I've got a friend of mine who is a college professor. Her name is Walter Brosch. And Walter sent me this today, and I'm going to try and get this lady on. But it talks about her health care coverage, Rita Inklevich. And she attended college at the University of London and Shippensburg University, grew up and worked in England, and is now employed in the United States. Let me read this to you. It's a bit lengthy, but this is how bad it is in other countries, how horrible it is. We hear from your Newt Gingriches and your Tom DeLays and your Mitch McConnells and these other boners how bad things are in other countries. They're constantly saying that you have to wait until you die to get medical care in other countries. Why, you'll never get to see anybody. We're getting a call here first. Let's do that. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi. Hello. This is Bedtime for Bonzo.
Hey, hello. How you doing? How things in the, well, I was going to say the frozen north, but it's not frozen right now, is it?
Oh, no, no. It's still there. It's still delightful. Yeah. Green.
Good, good. You live in Sweden.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You have a government health care program.
Oh, we sure do. It's single payer.
How bad is it?
It's bad. Everybody gets health care. I mean, we can't even kick people out of the system.
Yeah, but you must have people lining up at the docks, at the boat docks and at the airports waiting to get out of the country because it's so bad and they want to come to the United States for treatment, right?
Well, mostly they want to go to Holland for the dope, but but that's another matter. I wanted to answer the question: is it stupidity or is it brainwashing?
Yeah.
Because if you think that most Americans are genetically the descendants of Europeans, and the Europeans all have a good healthcare system, the only way that could really be stupidity is if all the stupid people left for America, and I'm not going to buy that. And I think that was the adventuresome, those who saw better opportunity at the time or so. So I think it was a pretty good, healthy group of people who left. So I would think that it just can't be stupidity. It has simply got to be what I remember from the 80s when I left, when Reagan started becoming popular. that was the era when the people were really discussing what happened in Vietnam. People were, everybody remembers mourning in America, but there was this period that really looked like the country was going to mature and grow up, talking about ecology, talking about fuel, and there's all sorts of things happening. And along comes that smiling-faced escapist, and the country just seemed like they wanted to eat up nostalgia. They wanted the easy way out. And Rush Limbaugh was just coming on real big in that. So I think it really is a form of brainwashing, this idea of let's just find happiness and escapism, even if it's, and maybe especially if it's not true. It's like white people escape in the movies, white people escape in the fiction. It's just so much easier. And then I think America kind of got stuck there, at least a large percentage of it.
Man.
That's my theory.
Well, I'm not so sure it's just a theory. I've seen evidence of it. People that I think are, you know, have brains. I know people that have brains that are right-wingers. And it's a refusal to accept the truth, and it is because of the brainwashing. And let's face it, this is brainwashing heaven here right now in the media. 24/7, you can get all of it you want.
Yeah, we can actually on some we have satellite television here, and there are Fox actually has some of its shows being on the air, and like the Bloomberg Business Network, and there's all sorts of American programming. And the few people I met who have seen it, so they can please take only a few minutes of it. And they just say they just can't watch it. They just say it's too chaotic, it's too stupefying, they just can't handle it. It's just nuts to them. And and yet in America, when I go home to the States, and my mother's really into the Republican Party and such, and she can watch that stuff, and it just drives me nuts.
Oh.
I just can't. It's like an assault on your head. Little hammers.
It is that. It is that, I tell you. I get so frustrated because there's no use talking to them about it. I mean, you can't. It's one of the major things in our lives, and it's a subject you just can't talk about.
Well, yes, and that I agree with, and that is what I think is the big mistake that our president is making at this point, Mr. Obama, that he is trying to make nice with people you can't even have a conversation with.
Right.
And I really do think it's time to say, okay, I tried. I've tried. I give you a half year to play nice, to cooperate, do the basic things you're supposed to learn in kindergarten. They can't even do that. So I think at the time we just say, okay, you guys, you had your chance, and just run over them.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't agree more. He's given them all the time they should have. They've shown that they're not. I mean, it's much worse than I thought it was going to be. Much worse. I never thought they'd vote no to the last man on almost everything. I never dreamed they would do that. But
no, it's scary. It reminds me of what I read about the 1920s after the defeat of Germany in the First World War, and the rise of the Free Corps. Yeah, FRIE.
Yes.
There was just all these people who had lost, and you just could not accept a loss. And that's out of all that mess that fascism came out of. And Republican Party showing up that kind of a behavior, they just cannot accept a loss. They cannot accept sharing power anymore. It's got to be their way or no way. And that's scary grounds.
It is. It is. And I think you've got it nailed down exactly. That's what it is. I see this terrible anger coming from people that I've known for a long time are Republicans. They were just incensed over this election. Part of it because of racial reasons. I know that. But others because of just losing. That's it.
Yeah, because they went after Clinton terribly. I mean, the stuff they went. All that crap going after Clinton with the Whitewater that wasn't a scandal and okay, he had a little sex, but he lied in office under oath. He's got to be removed. And, they just went out to destroy him. And now they're doing it to Obama. It just seems they got away with it once, and they're going to try to get away with it again.
You see where Senator John Ensign today said that his episode of adultery wasn't near as bad as Clinton's. He actually said that. It wasn't because Clinton lied about it, and he didn't.
Well, maybe, I'm not going to say anything. Maybe his idea of good and bad has to do with the quality of the act, but we don't need to go into that.
I love it. Yeah, it says John Ensign says his affair wasn't as reprehensible as Bill Clinton's because he didn't lie under oath. Oh, my goodness.
Well, aren't we dealing with a Southern gentleman?
Yes, an Arizona gentleman. I wonder if Mrs. Ensign thinks the same thing. I wonder. I don't know. That's funny.
Okay, what are some healthcare stories?
Yeah, now tell us how bad it is. Give us a nightmare story, healthcare story, how bad it is.
Can I give you my own personal nightmare story?
Yeah, because we all know, we've heard how bad it is. Come on, tell us.
I'll give you my personal nightmare story. I was in the car, and I'm driving into, we're going to go to a friend's son's graduation party, and I yawn, and all of a sudden I get this, my left eye goes black, and I just see spots and red and black, and something's bad, okay?
Ooh.
Yeah, it was weird. So I have to go downtown, turn around and get down there, and this is late on a Friday after closing hours. So I get down to the hospital, and they take me in, and they look at me, and I just walk in. I didn't even get the joy of having to fill out paperwork like you do in America. I felt deprived.
You must have been unconscious at that point.
Yeah, you go to an American hospital, and don't you get to sit in the waiting room for hours and fill out paperwork?
Yeah.
They didn't give me that joy. Instead, they took me straight in and gave me an examination. They booked me for laser treatment. They determined that my retina had come loose, and they tried to weld it back on with the laser.
Oh, come on! They don't have laser treatments in other countries.
They really do. They got these little devices.
No.
And they glow and everything green.
Okay.
And then I got to go in because they decided this really wasn't taking. My eyes wasn't gelling like it would. So then they came in and they gave me the full anesthesia, and I was in overnight, and they opened the eye up, and they put this little mesh thing around the eyeball on the backside to hold the retina up against the eyeball, and this is So I'm in there 24 hours overnight. I was two nights in there, the night before and the night after. And I get to go home, and the whole thing cost me 120 crowns, which at the time would be about $30.
$30? That's an outrage.
Yeah, it is an outrage because I wanted the American experience. I wanted to suffer. I wanted my whole family's economic future to shake and tremble so I could have that manly feeling of sweating it out about the future. I mean, the healthcare system it deprives you of your American manhood.
Man alive, how many crowns?
120 crowns.
120 crowns, $30, 4 crowns to a dollar. A crown's about a quarter.
Oh, it was more than that then. It would be about $50.
So that's incredible. In this country, you wouldn't have got out of there for $50,000.
Oh, I know.
You wouldn't have.
But the thing is, get a little serious and get rid of the sarcasm. I pay taxes all the time. I've been here 26 years, and I have probably put more than $50,000 into the general coffers that go towards health care. And that's exactly how an insurance program should work. You pay a certain flat amount. It's not enough to cripple you. And if anything happens, it's there. And that's just there. And it doesn't make any difference if I'm a McDonald's worker or if I own, you know, a bank, you'll get the same, you'll get good care.
Oh.
It's not based on your ability to earn. You've already paid for it and through your taxes. And because they fix people up quickly, efficiently, there's, I don't know if you've seen Sicko, the movie.
Yeah, but I can't come to any other conclusion that you're lying. Because our you must be, because our politicians, our Republican right-wing politicians have told us that the health care here is the finest in the world. We have the best system, and that people, you know, frankly, in other countries, it just sucks. That's what the message is.
Wait a minute. Maybe there's a point, because the room I was in, there was actually three other beds, and there was four people in the room. I didn't have my own room.
Oh,
and that you know, that's not top flight. I mean, so it wasn't like it was the Sheraton or anything.
Oh well, no one could put up with that, especially for the $40.
Yeah.
But
that could have been, and the mattress was a little thin. It could have been a little plumper.
Well, who can sleep in a hospital anyway? I never could.
Yeah.
Well,
so maybe the Republicans have a point.
Yeah, maybe they do.
And I was in the big city too, and I actually could hear. I heard an ambulance at about 3 or 4 in the morning. That kind of disturbed my sleep, so I can't have been very good care.
No, certainly not. Well, I'm glad we've gotten this horror story from you. I'm going to talk about a couple more horror stories here today. I knew they were out there because I know our good about this, and man, are they. How long you have to wait and all that kind of stuff. Terrible.
Yeah, I went in that waiting room. I had to wait minutes. I mean, it wasn't like instantaneous. I was probably in there at least 7 or 8 minutes before they saw me. It was, I was worried. That was 7 or 8 minutes of hell.
Yeah. Man, that sounds like some deal, though. That had to be scary with your eye that way. Wow.
Well,
and
I knew it wasn't a heart. I knew it wasn't a heart attack.
Yeah, but it worked. It's okay. It's okay now.
Yeah, well, even at the time, I thought, well, I can still see out my right eye. I mean, it was scary, but you know, as I say, I knew it wasn't a fatal problem, whatever it was. I mean, it was.
Well, I see. See how so pessimistic I am. I would think, well, the lights are going out. That's the first one. it's like your car shuts down a little bit at a time. That's what would have happened. That's what I would have thought. Well, I'm glad to hear your story. I am, because now I'll be able to tell some of those nasty politicians that they're a bit off in their assessment of other people's insurance.
No, it's just, yeah. you can certainly say that, and there's more stories for another day too.
All right.
My wife's cesarean, emergency cesarean, and how that was also about $40-$50.
Oh.
3 or 4 days in the hospital.
Oh,
I mean,
the horror.
No, the horror, the horror. Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Yep, and now keep fighting, everybody. Don't give up. Call them Congress critters.
We're going to.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye.
See how bad it is in other countries? $40 for surgery on your eye and treatment in an emergency room and a couple nights in the hospital and a follow-up and all that. If $40, who would pay that? Why, it's robbery, I tell you. Now, bedtime for Bonzo had to be lying because, as we know, we have heard from Newt Gingrich. We've heard from Boehner. We've heard from dozens of them saying how bad it is. How bad it is over there in those other countries. So, you know, maybe he got lucky. Maybe bedtime for Bonzo. He got lucky once, all right? Or they forgot to send him the proper bill. That's got to be it. But we know our politicians wouldn't lie to us about that. Now I'll go back to this story about, from Walter Brosch about the English lady, from the English lady called Rita Inklevich. She said, I'm English. And a dual citizen of England and the United States. Now, this is good. A dual citizen of England and the United States. And I'm increasingly frustrated with the misinformation reported regarding socialized medicine. Several opponents of health care reform, including major conservative radio and TV commentators and several Republican politicians, claim that in England,
Major surgery is not given to those over 59. This is simply not true. Not true. My mother had open heart surgery at age 81, is now 88 and doing well. She received excellent care, did not wait 3 months for a specialist. Her surgery was immediate. My cousin recently had heart and lung surgery. He is 70, and the surgery was immediate and successful. Unlike the United States, all people, and particularly the elderly, are taken care of in England. Further, all English citizens do not pay for any prescriptions after the age of 60. The biggest difference between their system and ours? Everyone has access to health care. Everyone. Comprehensive health care in England, like every civilized country except the United States, is considered to be a right of all people. Apparently, in the United States, the people concerned about their rights don't care that millions of Americans currently don't have the same rights. Remember, this is coming from a dual citizen of England and the United States. Opponents to health care reform probably haven't lost a job recently and also lost their health insurance, too. An executive director of a major nonprofit organization in the United States, as an executive director, I see people every day who have been laid off, who need medication, need care, but no longer have insurance and cannot afford to buy it. Are there problems with the system in England? Of course there are. Just like there are problems at any other hospital. Is it acceptable for hospitals to turn away the uninsured? Is that the American way? What does it say about our system when the first question at the emergency room is not what is the problem, but do you have insurance? We've all heard that. And don't we all know someone who has cancer, is struggling with treatments and sickness, but must continue to work so that they don't lose their insurance and can continue the treatments? As long as our system ties health insurance to employment, the people of this country will be unable to get sick without being financially devastated. If our system is so superior, why is the United States so low on the list of the healthiest countries? The USA spends the most on health care of any country in the world, yet it is ranked only 11th in healthy population. Canada is ranked 8th and has the longest life expectancy in the world. They must be doing something right. Australia is ranked 6th. Government involvement seems to work there, too. I am appreciative that my employer provides a health plan that I can buy into, and I'm very satisfied with the quality of care that I receive, and I hope that quality will not be affected. But I cannot, in good conscience, support a system that excludes the unemployed, the underemployed, and does not support the elderly. Rita Inklevich, dual citizen of the U.S. and the U.K. Here's one from someone in Canada. No one wants the U.S. to be a backward third world country like Canada, do they? In Canada, they have a long, long, long waiting list, and people just die waiting, right? Just ask the villagers. They'll tell you. I live in Vancouver, B.C. Canada's medical system is a single-payer system, as many of you know. The monthly premium for a single person is $54. In BC, premiums are payable for MSP coverage and are based on family size and income. The monthly rates are $54 for one person, $96 for a family of two, and $108 for a family of three or more. 2 years ago, I developed a bladder infection. This is from a Canadian, remember, with their horrible medical care system, health care system. 2 years ago, I developed a bladder infection, so I walked across the parking lot from work to a walk-in clinic on my coffee break to see a doctor. The wait was about 10 minutes. I presented my medical ID card, saw the doctor, was diagnosed, and she wrote a prescription for antibiotics that cost me $18. There was no bill for the doctor visit. It was covered.
She also said men generally don't get bladder infections, so I want you to go for an ultrasound of your kidneys, and made an appointment with me with the lab. I went to the lab, showed my medical ID card, and had the ultrasound. Again, no bill for this. It was covered. 3 days later, the doctor's office called me and asked me to come in for an appointment to get the ultrasound results. I went in and talked to the doctor again. She told me the ultrasound showed my left kidney was very swollen like a balloon, and that she was making an appointment with a urological surgeon for further examination. Again, no bill for this. It was covered. A week later, I saw the surgeon who examined me, looked at the ultrasound results, and told me I needed my kidney removed. Again, no bill for this. It was covered. 7 months later, they called to tell me to be at the hospital because the operating room was available now. The wait was because people with acute, life-threatening heart disease or cancer who needed immediate surgery were bumped ahead of me. Had my kidney problem become life-threatening at any time, I would have been in surgery the same day. I went into the hospital the next day. The kidney was removed. I spent 3 more days in the hospital, and then 3 months recovering at home. Again, no bill for this. It was covered. Now, for the entire 7-month period waiting for the operation, I had been on medical unemployment insurance, which was then extended for the remainder of my recovery time. So I was able to pay my rent and bills, including my regular monthly medical insurance premium. Total cost to me, $18, above and beyond my regular medical premiums. Socialized medicine sucks. Well, pretty bad. Pretty bad. Pretty damn bad. Compare that to what we have in this country. Just compare the two. My word. How can anybody argue with that? How can you? It's just, it's amazing that there are people actually out protesting against this right now. I find it absolutely reprehensible what the hardcore right is doing. It's so ugly.
Just imagine if the health insurance lobby took the $1.4 million a day they were spending to fight health care reform and spent that money lowering patient cost. Just imagine if the drug companies spent the $120 million they're about to spend on advertising to fight health care reform, and they spent that money making life-saving drugs more affordable. Just imagine an American healthcare system that wasn't run by huge profit-making companies wasting millions of dollars on lobbying and ads and CEO pay. Can you imagine? Because that's what healthcare reform looks like. This message created by Lee Stranahan. I'm an uninsured father taking on the health insurance industry.
couldn't at noon, we'll find the mouse, and I love you. Godspeed, little man. Sweet dreams, little man. Oh, my love.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Thanks for joining us here today. Always a pleasure to have all of you along with us. We're discussing health care today, among other things. And, yes, I believe there's an article in The Hill today saying the left flexed their muscles on the health care reform, said the fury from the left about President Barack Obama's shift on a public option has raised the prospect of House liberals joining together to defeat a health care bill that doesn't meet their standards. There are more and more House members right now saying either there's a public option or there's no bill. We will see. We will just see what happens. I think some of them will carry through. I guess the proof will be in the pudding when push comes to shove and there's an actual vote and they've got the White House breathing down their neck. That will be a different story. Easy for a congressman right now to say he'll vote against anything that doesn't have public options in it. But when the tough gets going and he gets called down to the White House to face the president in the Oval Office, that'll be quite another story. I really think, and if I were president right now, and I'm not and never will be and probably wouldn't, you know, but if I were president of the United States right now, seeing how things are, I would call the Blue Dogs into my office one by one and tell them, I will oppose you in the next election if you don't jump on the bandwagon here and help me pass this. Maybe I won't come out and say, oh, let's not elect him, but I will do nothing to help you. And you see, since you're a Blue Dog, you need my help. And have the other heavyweights in the party come in and tell them the same thing. In other words, you're going to be out there by yourself this time, friend. You either play ball with me or else. That's what I would do. It needs to be done. This Blue Dog Coalition, I had a chance to interview one of them at the convention last year. He was from Pensacola, Florida. I can't think of his name offhand. But after I was done talking to him, I thought, my God, what's a Republican doing here at this conference, at this convention? That's just exactly the way I thought. Don't be a Republican and call yourself a Democrat, or vice versa. Either way, you owe it to your constituency to be honest. And these Blue Dogs aren't honest. They're not honest at all. And I'd like to see all of them defeated with good, solid Democrats, if that's possible. But to tell you the truth, when the election was going on last year, and a lot of people asked, well, you know, and some of these Blue Dogs I'm not in favor of, I couldn't really back them. I said, well, would you rather have a Republican? I'm not so sure. I mean, yes, I wouldn't rather have a Republican, but if you're a Blue Dog and you vote against the president on an issue like this, what's more pressing than this issue right now other than the war? So I would. I'd call them in one by one and say, hey, boy, you're gonna play ball. You are. And if you don't, you won't be back to your cushy little seat in the House of Representatives. I promise you that. Don't think for a minute that Lyndon Johnson wouldn't have done that. Don't think Richard Nixon wouldn't have done that. Don't think other presidents wouldn't have done that, because they would. They absolutely would. So the left has to continue flexing their muscles on this health care thing. They must. Absolutely must. And I see now the Republicans are wanting to really play some more games with all of this. Orrin Hatch should have a D behind his name for despicable. Senator Orrin Hatch, a Republican of Utah, claimed that health care reform should not happen because it doesn't enjoy bipartisan support. This is off of Think Progress. This is stunning. It really is. He's saying it doesn't enjoy bipartisan support, adding that a bill cannot be bipartisan unless it garners somewhere between 75 and 80 votes. Hatch is hardly the only conservative to float the 75 to 80 vote supermajority requirement for health reform. Chuck Grassley, asshole from Iowa, who is currently blocking attempts to fix health care system, told the Washington Post, we ought to be focusing on getting 80 votes. Senator Mike Enzi from Wyoming demanded a bill with 75 or 80 senators supporting it. Hatch, Grassley, and Enzi, as you might know, sang a very different tune when they were in the majority, however. Let's look at some of these majorities, bipartisan majorities that they think you should have. Tax cuts for the rich. In May 2001, the Senate passed President Bush's budget-breaking $1.35 trillion tax cuts with only 58 votes. Nevertheless, Orrin Hatch announced that he was extremely proud of this bipartisan bill. Grassley praised the tax cuts as built upon bipartisanship. Remember now, just 58 votes. And Enzi praised the Senate for passing a bill in bipartisan fashion. Now, it's a different story. We need 75 or 80 votes to be called bipartisan today, but back when they were in the majority, it only needed 58. As far as the subsidies for drug companies, in November 2003, the Senate passed a prescription drug plan for seniors that was strongly backed by lobbyists for the pharmaceutical industry, with only 54 votes. 54, barely over the hump. Nevertheless, Grassley released a statement praising himself as the lead Senate architect of the bipartisan legislation creating this plan. The nuclear option. 4 years ago, when Senate Democrats filibustered 7 of President Bush's 205 nominees to the federal bench, conservatives deemed the filibuster unconstitutional and invented a tactic known as the nuclear option to ram the bloc nominees through the Senate. Hatch and Grassley were on the vanguard of the movement to block any attempt to require judges to be confirmed by a supermajority. Hatch described the filibuster as unconstitutional, and Grassley described judicial filibusters as an abuse of our function under the Constitution. Now that conservatives make up only a tiny majority of the Senate, however, they've decided that even the filibuster's 60-vote threshold isn't a strong enough barrier to block much-needed reform. Instead, Hatch, Grassley, and Enzi now want to impose a 75-to-80-vote super-filibuster standard that will effectively kill any health care plan they don't personally approve of. Oh, politics. Oh, politics. These people. They have no shame. They really do have no shame. 866-546-5254. You still got a few minutes to join the program today. We're going to take a quick one and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We're down to the last few minutes of the show today. I did want to mention that our good friend, everyone's good friend, Glenn Beck, is on vacation this week from his Fox News show, and the insiders are saying that this vacation was not planned.
We hear Beck was told to take this week off to let some of the heat surrounding him die down. The heat began on July 28th on Fox and Friends when Beck said he thought President Obama has a, quote, deep-seated hatred for white people, end quote, adding, the guy is, I believe, a racist. Beck's ratings are great, but a heavyweight list of advertisers fled the show, replaced by companies selling penis enlargement pills and anti-snoring devices and presumably paying quite a bit less for their slots. It's long been conventional wisdom that these attempts to drive advertiser boycotts don't work. But the combustible question of race, not to mention the attack on a popular president, sometimes creates exceptions to the rule. And this seems to be one. Well, well, well. So Glennie Boy is on vacation all week because they ask him to. That's the word anyway. I don't know that for a fact. But that's what insiders are saying. So take it with a grain of salt. Maybe it's true. Maybe it isn't. I won't do like they do on the right wing shows and say, this is the gospel. I know this to be true. I don't know that to be true. But that's a rumor. That's from the insiders in the entertainment business. And actually, that's what Beck is as an entertainer, is he not? I don't know where this health care bill is going to go. I don't know what's going to survive out of it. I don't know if it's going to end up being anything meaningful for the people of the United States. I don't know. I don't think any of us do. It's maybe too early to tell. Will the Obama situation follow? You know, maybe it'll follow the will of the people, and maybe we'll get the health care that most people want. When they hear the facts, when they hear what it's actually going to cost, when they hear what's actually in it, people are in favor. People are in favor of a single-payer health system. So we'll see where it's going to go. We'll see if the Obamas have the courage to ram this thing through, ram it down their throats if necessary, because I believe that that's what needs to be done. If they won't cooperate, make them go kicking and screaming. Too bad. Tough luck, pal. There are consequences to the elections, and this is one of them. Let's just see. I hope that our president, our new president, has the courage and fortitude to follow through with a program that I know he believes is right. I know he does. He's been saying it for a long time. I hope that he doesn't back down just simply because of politics. Often that is the case. And this man will prove a lot to me if he steps forward and says, no, by God, we're going to do this one way or another. We're going to do it. I'm anxious to see if he's capable of doing that. That'll be a big deal for me. If not, if he can't throw everything he's got at it, if he can't force this through, no matter what, get this done, then I'm not going to think that he has what it takes to be president of the United States. And I know a lot of people say, oh, one thing, just one thing, and you know, it's more than one thing. It's the wars as well. So we'll see. We will see. Thanks for listening today. You are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to remember, we are a listener-supported program, and I hope you can help us support the program. You can do that at theguyjamesshow.com. Theguyjamesshow.com. Stay tuned for Bob later on. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang.